from all that you have said, it is absolutely essential that when people are at the center of a problem such as this, the communication from the police must take on a particular, approach. While at the same time, the police have to be careful with how much information they give in their investigations, there still has got to be some respect for the fact that people in your situation are going to carry a certain degree of fear, a certain degree of frustration, and whatever mechanisms they can employ to better communicate with people like you, they need to look at it. I must say that over the years, you know, you work with the police in trying to get a certain sensitivity to public information and communicating with the public and stuff. And to a large extent, they have to remain dynamic. They got to be looking at how the society has changed. There's been some improvement in things like using the social media and that sort of thing, but I don't know about the other aspect of it, the degree to which they have kept step with the types of changes that require them to make people feel that they are being kept as informed as they can in these circumstances. But most of all, let's respect this reality. What you're going through is not easy. And therefore, you're going to be looking for answers, you're going to be looking for help. And in the frustration that exists, you are going to feel at times that other people can do better, including the police. The press conference, they've put out a press statement, but what difference do you think a press conference would make?
Well, sometimes, I'll be honest with you, Mr. Ellis, sometimes people, like, there's got a lot of people that up to now still don't know about this. Because a lot of people don't listen to radios, some people don't go out and watch TV. So then people hear other people talking about it, but seeing the individuals, seeing the car, telling the people where to find the car, sometimes it go back, things could go back in people's mind and say, yes, I can remember on this day, yes, I saw this car, yes, I saw two people, something, you might not have, I'm not asking the police to tell the public or to tell me everything that they're doing, but if they could come at least and tell the public a little something that goes, bring back people's memory back to that day or where the car was, somebody will see that might be able to see something that will be able to come out and speak. They might not speak directly to the police, but they might speak to somebody that they trust that could carry it to the police. Is the police there to want the public help? But how can you get the public help if they don't know certain things?
And the crime, the crime situation in Barbados, how do you see that?
Well, I think we could do better with the crime that's going on in Barbados. We're too small for the way we got a lot of crime like guns. There are too much guns in Barbados. There's too much crime in Barbados. These things can be tracked down very easily. I know it can happen. I don't know what their plans are of get it through, but I know it can be done.
How close were you to your daughter, and how would you describe her for the rest of Barbados?
Me and my daughter was very close. We talk regularly. She come and visit me at my home. And I will visit her. I can remember at one stage when she stole her car. I used to pick her up from work every night. Every single night I used to pick her up from work and take her home. We was very close. Any problem she got, she used to come to me about it. You know, and we would talk. I know children do hide things from you because I was a child before and I did hide things from my parents too, but in a situation like this, where that you need help from the public and other people, you have to give them something to work with. You have to give them something to work with because if somebody sees something or hears something.
Mr. Innes, thank you very much for taking the time out and making your appeal and trying to sensitize Barbadians as best as you can to assisting you and your family. We really wish you the best in all the circumstances, and the same applies to the family of Sherwin Parks. All right? Thank you very much for calling. This is Down to Brass Tacks. Hello?
Good afternoon, Mr. Ellis.
Yes, sir.
This is Mohammed Nasser.
Yes, sir.
I really just know, I'm very interested in things you were saying, but no, just now you're talking about the workers and the unions, and so you and the gentleman. And you mentioned Miss Thatcher's name about this Iron Lady. You didn't say Iron Lady were here, but you know, you talk about, remember Miss Thatcher. But Miss Thatcher did not destroy the unions. The union leadership destroyed the unions. She would never be powerful enough to beat a workforce if it decided to stand up to her. In Barbados, there's no business in Barbados can beat the workforce if it decided to stand up to them. What happened is that we got to watch that these people are not playing leadership of unions worldwide and making people believe that they're powerful. There's no way my workers decide that they're not working or all the workers are there where you are managing or whatever you're president or whatever you are there. If the workers decide they're functioning, you cannot run that. So I am wondering if it's time enough that the workers in the world, and surely in Barbados, take a stand against management, because they can make it very difficult for business to succeed if the workers decide it's to fail. And it's hard to talk, but you could change some, but there's certain workers that are so well trained in your business that if they leave it, they'll create a serious void in your business. So I don't want people to believe that these presidents and prime ministers are so powerful that they could allow a country to continue to fall and a minority group continue to control all the wealth and all the rights. And when they're in opposition, they're attacking people, and then when they come into office to prison those same people, it can't work. It's nothing to do with dislike. It's nothing to do with injustice. The slaves, we did not get ourselves free from slavery, whatever that is going to be. We still are slaves today. Other than that, the slaves made it very difficult for it to be profitable for the people, the sugar cane and the cotton and things like that. And they had the freedom. If we want to have ownership in these businesses, the workers of this country and all over the world must decide we get it or we shut it.
Okay.
And I don't see that right
now. All right, sir. Thank you very much. Down to Brass Tacks. You're on the air.
Is it Ellis?
Yes, hi.
Good afternoon to you, sir.
Good afternoon.
First of all, I don't know what to say to the gentleman, Mr. Innes. I understand the pain that I can't say I fully understand the pain that he's going through because of losing his daughter and stuff, not knowing. But that is a matter for the police. We can't get into that now. All I can say is that I hope that some sort of conclusion comes to the whole started mess. But all of this points, David, to the fact that we as a nation, David, have to really sit down as individuals and try to garner some sort of sense of where we have gone wrong, where we have come to as a nation. It is all well and good for people to enjoy success. There's nothing wrong with persons enjoying the success, persons enjoying their money, whatever the case may be, and the trappings of such. But the thing, David, is people have lost somehow a lot of caring and concern about the myriad of others who have lost their way, who have fallen on hard times, who are struggling, David, struggling. There's a daily struggle out there. And it is complex. It is much different to the struggles that our grandparents and stuff would have gone through in abject poverty, in trying to make ends meet for the loss of children that they had back in those days. The struggle is different in some ways, but in a lot of ways, it is still the same. The challenge on the police is a lot, yes. They have a lot of equipment. That's what a lot of people would say. They have access to sophisticated equipment nowadays. The technology is there. the firearms are there. But the challenge is even greater for the police officers out there on the beat. There are a lot of instances that are not reported when police officers just come under intense gunfire. These things are not seen or reported in the media. There are challenges we have even with recruitment, because a lot of the young people, both men and women, are heavily involved in the use and consumption of illegal narcotics. So you have instances where people apply to the police force. You put them through various tests, and you can't accept them, David. These are other challenges that are not being reported. So, I mean, we have to sit down as a nation, understand where we are, how we've come to be at this point, and find creative ways to get back to some semblance of normalcy, David. This is the real challenge that we have, and I will continue to say we have to go into the primary schools. We have to start very early, because it makes no sense waiting until youngsters, let's say 17, 18, and going through the chute, then to be concerned and be all worried, because it doesn't start there. It just does not start there.
Okay. Thank you very much, Stax. You know, I've been trying to stimulate some focus on this question of the unions and stuff, and the trade unions. I went to the International Labor Organization, and there's a paper on their website that says that the world of work is changing at a very rapid pace. The decline of jobs in manufacturing, the rise of non-standard and flexible work, and the persistence and growth of the informal economy, coupled with changes in employment regulations and behavior, and the limitation and violation of trade union rights, have caused unionization rates to fall in most countries worldwide. The paper goes on to say that a new instability of work, as it calls it, has come to characterize labor relations in the 21st century. And this has important implications for trade unions worldwide. Against this background, trade unions face two major challenges: the digital economy and the way it transforms jobs and employment relationships, as well as the social divide between workers with stable, paying jobs and workers with unstable, poorly paid, or precarious jobs, or no job at all. This is Down to Brass Tacks. Hello? You're on the air. Welcome to the program. It's 1:23. Hello.
Hi, good afternoon.
Yes, good afternoon.
Yeah, good afternoon to all. Yeah, Nelson statue. What time is it due to be taken down?
I believe it's about 4 o'clock or something this afternoon. Somewhere.
That is a great thing. It should be a great thing for every Barbadian. It should have been taken down since independence.
Well, you don't rename the Queen Elizabeth Hospital at the same time?
Queen Elizabeth Hospital can be renamed in time, too. Mm-hmm. But because one thing, we see it fit for one thing, it don't necessarily mean
one thing
that
at a time.
I heard a lady calling probably about 2 weeks ago, and she said, I'm just going to quickly touch on a few things. And she said that she was glad for slavery, and we're not in Africa, and this kind of thing, and this kind of thing. I would invite her to watch the documentary, Slavery in the South, and to know that Willie Lynch, who the name lynching comes from, was actually a West Indian who went up to North and South Carolina to teach white people out there how to to break the slaves.
Was he successful?
So she
was he successful?
Pardon?
Was he successful?
He was. He was very successful. And therefore, those are broad statements to make, and if she has children and grandchildren, I think she needs to read some history.
Well, I didn't hear the old lady, so I can't really focus on
I just made that statement towards what she said, because nobody should want to be enslaved. And therefore, she also needs to know that the this Trump era, I think that we should be grateful for Trump, because he has, his system of doing things has revealed that we have already gone nowhere when it comes to how people think about us, I mean blacks, and that if they have the opportunity in the South, they will enslave us again, because they ain't forgive the North for that war up to now. So, I mean, like, we better be careful what we say, because you know the saying, be fearful what you pray for, you might get it. All right, DLP, I don't like to hear, this is me, I don't like to hear about the last decade, because when the DLP came into power, it was the recession was on and everything. And if they want to say, well, okay, we lost 5 years, I might agree with that, but not the whole 10 years. And politics is something else. I don't like it at all.
Okay, Athlete, ma'am. We got to move on. Athlete, what you were saying?
I think that he should be given the salvation because he was accepted as the opposition.
Okay.
To go to the governor general and all that, right?
Mm-hmm.
He was accepted as the opposition. And I don't see why it should be delayed. That funding should be delayed. They need to check that out. And whatever party he is in and part of and leading, they should get that money.
All right, ma'am. Thank you very much. Dr. Brastax, somebody here wants to provoke me to comment on, but could only ask me to comment because I would assume that somebody else as a caller would be sufficiently motivated to raise this issue. I don't understand why I'm being criticized for the fact that it hasn't been raised about the schoolboy and how he behaved and that sort of thing. Perhaps I should listen to you all on that rather than make my own comment. I think there are certain aspects of that video that are quite obvious to us all, and I don't know what am I going to achieve by elevating that to a greater status right now. What sense does that make? I don't think it makes much at all. It is unacceptable, and that's the end of that, you know. I hope that, you know, something is done to address what we actually saw in that video, and in my judgment, on both sides, there's a need to review how it was handled by both sides, down to brass tacks. You're on the air.
Thank you. Last week, a caller called and was kind of protesting against the idea of persons using the infrared thermometers on him, and said that he knows the region of the spectrum where the infrared comes from, and he doesn't want the person to spot the thermometer in the soft tissue or important parts of his anatomy. So he says that he points his wrist. However, I just want to say that the thermometer sends out nothing. There are no rays that are sent out with the thermometer. It is our bodies giving off infrared radiation that interacts with something called a thermopile in the thermometer, which is converted to electricity, which gives the signal for the temperature. So he was wrong, and the moderator didn't correct him because he is misinforming the public and making other people feel that there's harm being done to them when someone points a thermometer. I remember a manager at a business place in Bridgetown speaking to me and saying that they had great problems with clients who come in and treat those at the doors roughly, who point the thermometers at their forehead or their ears. And I think this is not good. In fact, I see that business places have now replaced persons with automatic machines. But no one monitors the machine, so no one knows what temperature the client who is coming in has. And therefore, we don't know if someone will be entering into a business place with high temperature.
Yes.
So I think that this situation needs to be corrected and monitored, and that people need to understand there's no harm to them by the use of the thermometer. It's the same thing that happens when we go to the doctor. The doctor points the thermometer at our ears, and it doesn't do us any harm. Thank you very much.
Thank you for calling. Down to Brass Tacks. Hello.
Hello.
Hi. Good afternoon. Yes, sir.
Good afternoon. Okay. As a matter of fact, while I was listening there, the guy with the temperature, the machines that you go to, there's nobody manning it. It always said temperature correct. When you go and put your head to it, it said temperature correct. So they don't need someone there to man it.
So what happens if the temperature is incorrect?
It will say temperature incorrect.
And that leaves it up to you to do what?
Well, at the where it goes, where it works, at the clinic, there's a security guard standing one side.
Right, that's at the clinic. But there are places where there's nobody else there. And nobody to verify what has been said. So it is left to the individual to determine.
I guess if it said it incorrect, you turn around and go back.
But that is up to people's behavior. That's the point he's making.
Yeah, I know what he's making. Mm-hmm. But you was right with him. I was in England from 1960 to 1982, and Maggie Thatcher brought the unions right down to their knees. You was 100% right.
But where are the unions in England today? What role do you see them playing?